It's time now for the Prescott Palette with your host, Barry Barb. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Finding and Making the Good is a group of community members recognizing and celebrating people doing good for others in our community. Share your stories of people doing good deeds through their website, findingandmakingthegood.com, and they'll randomly select up to three each month to be recognized. Visit findingandmakingthegood.com to nominate and contribute today, and like them on Facebook to learn more about your neighbors who are making the good in Prescott. Proud to be part of the Gatto Community Gives program. Like them on Facebook and visit their website, findingandmakingthegood.com. Sponsored by Elgato Azul.
All you need to move ahead is a college that works with you. Yavapai College has degree and certificate programs that can fast-track you for the job you want with schedule options that work with your busy life. The step you take now can secure your future. Take it. Sometimes a classroom or a learning lab is the best way out of the box. YC has classes and certificates in the most sought-after trades. Visit Yavapai College online at yc.edu/admission to register today.
Here's a shout out to my good friend Rukini and her crew of Allen's Flowers and More, where they've been creating beauty and delivering happiness since 1914. Located at 1095 East Gurley Street in Prescott, Allen's is your one-stop shop for all your floral and gift needs for any occasion. Weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, or to send a pick-you-up bouquet. Allen's features a wide selection of unique gifts, cards, truffles, as well as convenience of a drive-through pickup window and flower happy hour. Allen's Flowers and More, 1095 East Gurley, 445-5131, or on the web at allensflowers.com. Welcome to the Prescott Palette. I'm Barry, and today we're going behind the scenes of Prescott's culinary, visual, and performing arts, and everything in between. You like the little and? You like the little sound I had there?
You got a little sore throat.
I don't know what's going on. I have a little sore throat.
No. I'm here in the
studio. You can call it out. I know. Well, my guest today is, all right, I say this a lot on the show because the only people I have on my show are like my favorite people, people I like and respect, and you know, that type of thing.
Thanks, Barry.
And but you literally are probably one of my favorite people, and if not one of my favorite, at least one of my most respected. So if like a person on the street were going to come up to me and say, hey, who's someone you would respect in town or, you know, that you work with or whatever, it would be Courtney Arsefelt.
Thanks.
And I want to tell you why that is. And we've known each other for roughly about 25 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, I've gotten to watch you kind of grow from a college student at PC. Actually sleeping in your pickup truck in the back of one of my restaurants for a while. You have remained so focused and committed to your vision and your project with working with youth, and specifically now the Launchpad, which is now in this 10th year anniversary. And so I want to commend you for that, because I do. I look up to you and I respect you, and I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people in our community do. And if they do not know you and what you do and the work and the commitment you have for that, they really need to find out about. So I'm really glad you joined me today.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks for inviting me.
My pleasure.
Well, and the feelings are reciprocal. I mean, you know what it's like to start a business and to have all the growing pains of starting a business. And a nonprofit, though it's a nonprofit, is still a small business.
Yeah.
So similar growing pains and similar required grit and tenacity and sticking with it even when you think it's going to fold. And yeah.
So how long have you been in Prescott now? Because you went to PC.
I did. So I've been in Prescott for 23, 24 years or so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've known each other pretty much, because you worked at Zuma's, wasn't I?
I did. In fact, I moved into my apartment on Marina Street and needed a job immediately. And my first interview in town was at Zuma's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And it's funny because I was living in my truck before that, went into my apartment. Went to, like, I don't know, one of the Sears, I think, and bought like what I thought would be respectable interview attire. Mickey interviewed me.
Yeah.
Mickey's, and I started working with you guys. And then I was happy to work so much to make, to pay
my
bills.
You bought your interview clothes at Sears?
I did.
I skipped up. I missed a whole, that just flew by me then. But wait a minute. She
my
said
fashion
Sears.
Has evolved since then.
I hope so.
But, yeah. So, anyhow, I got the job. And then I was working so much that I had no time to do other things that I liked. So I moved back into my truck and continued to work for you, but I didn't have to work 6 or 7 days a week. I only had to work 3 or 4.
Oh, my gosh. So what were you studying at PC? What were you studying at Prescott College?
So I started off studying environmental studies, and then I was trying to set up my class schedule so I could rock climb 3 days a week, which I know sounds not at all like a Prescott College student. And then and so in order to do that and get all the credits I needed, I had to take a women's studies class to fit it into my rigorous rock climbing schedule. And that class really blew my mind, and it opened my eye up to just a lot of different things in the world that I felt needed our attention, one of which was teenage pregnancy rates. And so that totally changed my career path and my studies, and I switched my degree to education, and I graduated with a degree in education, and then went on to graduate studies with a degree in community development.
Okay. So then your first project, I think, was it not the web conference?
Yeah.
Was your first? So how did the web conference come about, and what was your inspiration behind that?
So that was really related to a presentation I saw the Yavapai County Health Department give on teen pregnancy rates in Arizona, specifically in Yavapai County. And our teenage pregnancy rates were really, really high. They still are actually above the national average, although we are making improvements, which is good. But there are a couple factors that go into a reasonable teenage pregnancy rate. And it's not just about abstaining, and it's not just about education. It's about feeling like you're worthy in your community. It's about feeling like you have a future ahead of you. It's about learning to set boundaries because you're worth the boundaries, all that sort of stuff. So it went from this like presentation about data to this, what can we do that's more holistic in approaching teens and their self-empowerment and their sense of self-worth. And that's how the Girls Leadership Conference came about.
Okay, so Women's Empowerment Breakthrough is what it was. So is that still taking place?
Yeah, so we're about to have our 21st year, which is crazy.
No way.
Yeah.
21 years?
Yeah. Yeah, we had our 20th year last year.
Marriages don't last that long.
I know.
I
don't know if it's focus or stubbornness or what, but it was voluntarily run for about 16 or 17 years. And then when I started the launch pad, it just made sense to fold it in under the launch pad. Mm-hmm. And now it's a program of ours. So
okay, so the launch pad. So you are the founder of the launch pad.
Yes.
Okay, so tell everybody who's listening what the launch pad is.
So the launch pad is a youth-driven teen center. And adults are always like, does that mean that no adults work there? Are they just like cut loose to do whatever the heck they want to? And the answer is no. It means that adults are very much so there. In fact, our adult-to-teen ratio is quite high. But adults are supporting teens in pursuing their vision and having a voice and running programs and being good role models, stepping into leadership, all that sort of stuff. So we have after school programs. We have leadership programs, youth workforce development. We have a youth run cafe where teens learn how to make a latte and a smoothie and give great customer service. And then they also learn how to do profit and loss statements and run the inventory and all that sort of stuff. So we're really like scaffolding teens.
Okay.
Is what I like
that
to
scaffolding.
Say.
I like that.
Yeah, to help them really pursue a future that feels like it's meaningful to them and that is successful.
Now, how many kids are going through the program on a deal? How many kids you see there?
Oh my gosh, we've been growing so much because we have this new location. It's huge. And now I feel like we finally like hit our groove where we have pretty regularly 50 to 60 teens in the building. And then outside of the teens that are inside our building, we also have school circles in, I think it's over 7 different schools in the county. We have leadership programs that happen offsite. So collectively, over the course of a year, we serve around 1,100 unique teens.
On a regular basis?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, some teens is through like one leadership program that they come to for a month and a half.
Right.
And they don't come for the rest of the year. But yeah, okay. Repeatedly we're seeing around 1,000
So when you're starting this project, because any time you start any business or organization, How did you conceive this? What were your thoughts when you did this 10 years ago? When you got the web conference kind of rolling along, what did you do? What was your impetus? How did you do this?
Well, so teens kept saying, can you have the web conference every single weekend? And can you offer one for my brothers and my best friend? And, it's like, wow. So clearly there's a need. And all I could think about was a space that was like a third space. So adults have a third space. We have lots of third spaces. That might be, for some adults, it might be the bar. For some adults, it's the gym, church, the library, whatever, pickleball court, all that sort of stuff. Teens don't really have a third space. They have school and home. For some teens, they have a job, but they're very monitored. And not that we want them to be unmonitored, but we want to give them time to think creatively, to problem solve, to develop social relationships outside of math projects in school, all that sort of stuff. So I was like, where can we create a third space for teens that's safe, that parents would feel good about sending their kids to, and that kids feel like they have ownership over? So I lived in the barrio at the time, and I would walk past this old white rundown church that was empty every single day. And I thought, gosh, that'd be such a good teen center. And we never ended up moving in there, but that was kind of what got me thinking. I remember looking at the real estate listing and thinking, oh my goodness, I'd have to raise, this is crazy to say now, I'd have to raise $110,000 to buy that church.
Yeah, I know. It's like $500,000 now.
Yeah. And then, so then, you know, the UU church in town gave us a room out of their building for $110 a month, which was really incredible.
Whopping at $110,000.
Totally got us started. And then we went to the Boys and Girls Club and we grew a little bit and we worked out of there. But lo and behold, teenagers don't really want to hang out with second graders.
Right.
Yeah. So we outgrew that space pretty quickly. And then we landed at Prescott College, interestingly, back where I started, renting a little house on the corner of Sheldon and Grove. And we stayed there for about 6 years. And that was really a perfect home for us to grow into. It's 1,100.
But you grew out of it.
Or we grew. Oh, yeah. It's 1,100 square feet. And we had like 40 teenagers in there a day.
Yeah.
It was intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that gave us time to raise money to buy the warehouse that we're in now and renovate it and all that stuff.
Okay. So where are you located right now?
So now we're off of 6th Street. So if you're driving down 6th Street and you see Foxworth and Galbraith, that's on your right-hand side, we're the very next driveway. So we're sandwiched between Foxworth and Wynn Air. You can see our building from the Sprouts parking lot. And we
Are you behind the CrossFit? Is that right?
Yeah. We're connected to Captain CrossFit.
Okay.
We have an official sign now.
And how big of a space do you have? How much square feet do you have over there?
We have about 6,200 square feet.
6,200 square feet.
Yeah. Which is so cool because in our old building at 1,100 square feet, you know, the launch pad serves all teens. So we've got teens who are on the autism spectrum. We have teens who are very social and loud and have a little bit of ADHD. And then we have teens who are just very studious and have a hard time making friends and a little awkward. When we had them all in that tiny 1,100 square foot building, it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
You can admit.
A little cray cray?
Oh, man. So now it's great because the kids who maybe need quiet space have quiet space. The kids who are there to study and get support with academics have a whole room for that. The kids who want to do art have space for that. And then the kids who want to be loud and crazy, there's a basketball hoop outside. There's plenty of outdoor space. And we have a giant room in the middle.
So if I wanted, as an individual, if I want to come by and see what you're doing, when is a good time or that I could pop in and say, hey.
Please, we want the community to come by all the time. So we have a coffee shop there called the Moon Cafe. That's part of our youth workforce development program. So teens are there basically from 7 a.m. for the homeschool. We have a lot of homeschool teens who work with us. So they're there working in the coffee shop from 7 a.m. And then we have a new shift of teens that come in at 2:30 p.m. to work the after school hours.
And they get paid for this, right?
They get paid.
Paid internships,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
And so it's
not child labor.
No. No, although you'd be surprised at how often people suggest I do that.
Oh, you're right.
I'm like, but come into the Moon Cafe. It's right in the heart of the launch pad and you can order a smoothie, a sandwich, a coffee drink. And our teens, I mean, they love serving each other, but they really love it when adults come into the cafe because it feels like real life experience then.
Right. They've accomplished something. Yeah. We've arrived and
Yeah, totally.
And there's a little seating area there and there's stuff.
Yep.
You have places to sit down, read a book or do some work and stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. We have Wi-Fi. You can post it. We have some people who come and just work all day. And
so it's not an awkward space when we go in. There's not like, you're not going to walk in a room with 100 teens and you have to like fight for a chair, like in the lunchroom or anything like that.
Not during the day. Now, if you come at 3 o'clock, there is seating for the cafe, but be ready. It's full of teenagers and they are quirky and fun and they'll say hello to you. And some of them will offer to give you a tour. So just know that if you want peaceful, quiet, classical music playing or nice music in the background, come between 7:30 in the morning and 2:30. If you're ready for a show, come at 3.
I want the show. So what's the address again?
It's 424 6th Street.
424 6th Street. It's on the back side of the building. Come in. I mean, that's 6th Street.
Yeah.
Turn the parking lot. It's at the very end of that long building there behind Captain CrossFit.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So what do you love? What do you like most about what you do? Why do you do it? Why do you do it? Why do you do this, Courtney Osterfeld?
The heart of why I do it is I really struggled as a teenager. Now, I don't know if I could have been convinced when I was in like my junior year to go to the launch pad or a place like the launch pad because I was too far gone. Like I started getting in trouble when I was 12 and 13 years old. But had there been a place to capture me at that middle school age and then hold my attention through high school, I think my life would have been a lot different. So there's a personal reason there, which is like, it's really what I needed so badly. But then there's the other piece of teens have every person has a story in their head of who they are and what they can and can't do. And it is so cool to help people shift their narrative into something that is more aligned with their potential, more aligned with their passions, and the way that we as people who love them see them. So when teens come in full of self-doubt, full of I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, nobody loves me, everything about my body is wrong, I'm never going to have a friend. When we get to correct that course and create a new story for them, it's so magical.
Yeah. I mean, because that the teenage angst, that's what you just described, is that...
Totally.
Oh, my gosh. So yeah. You're on your 10th year.
Yeah.
And we've got March 22nd, is it?
March 22nd is our 10th annual Share the Love, which you have thankfully been a massive supporter of since day one.
Carry on. Tell us about what Share the Love is.
So Share the Love is my favorite event we do. And sadly, this is the last year we're doing it because every event has to run its course and we got to do something new. But the thing that's special about this event is it really captures the essence of who we are at the launch pad. So there is no ticket price to come to the event. We just ask you, please come, be ready to make a contribution that is meaningful to you. And so you can RSVP online to reserve a spot so we know how much food to serve, how much, all that sort of stuff.
Where do I do that?
That you can do at www.thelaunchpadteencenter.org.
Launchpadteencenter.org.
Yeah, or you can call me, 928-227-0758.
Okay.
I prefer... You know, as a person, I like to just call and make a reservation. So you can RSVP and then you just show up and we have all these sponsors. So we've got you, Barry, with Torme and El Gato, Mickey with Action Wines. We have Michael and Cody Ann have been the sort of impetus for this whole event. They started it with Rent Right and Home Right Real Estate Solutions. And then we also have Rikini with Allen's Flowers. She's supported it since day one, which is so cool. And so the sponsors make it possible so that every single donation that is given during the event, 100% of it goes back to our programs. That means the Launchpad has zero costs for putting on the event, which is incredible.
Okay, so what time does the event start again?
The event starts at 5 p.m. And because it's our 10th anniversary, the theme is decades, and we're asking people to show up representing the decade that they graduated from.
Oh, graduated from.
Yeah, which would be what for you, Barry?
The 80s.
The 80s. Okay, I was the
90s. That's an easy one. Yeah, 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can show up repping your decade.
Oh, I like that.
Which is kind of fun. It's going to be sort of like prom themed and feel like a little bit like you're going back in time. And then, we have a fun event. We have DJs. We have music. We have appetizers, drinks. And then we do a live ask where we ask the whole community to just make a gift that's meaningful to them. And the coolest thing about that is we will have a Launchpad parent in the audience who maybe makes a gift of $50 or $100 because that is meaningful to them and that's what they can afford. And they're standing shoulder to shoulder with somebody who makes a $20,000 gift. It's not an exclusive event. It is a community event. And it's one of the things we're most proud of.
Very congratulations. All right.
Thanks.
So make reservations at the launchpadteencenter.org.
Yep.
And it's March 22nd.
March 22nd, which is a Friday. Okay. So the doors open at 5 p.m. and then the sort of the events start at 6 p.m. So You've got a 5 to 6 kind of cocktail hour show up window. And it's so much fun. People repeatedly tell us that it's their favorite event of the year.
And so it's not a fancy schmancy thing. It dresses, you don't have to dress per your decade
Correct.
You graduated in.
You don't have to. It's not required, but it is fun. And the cool thing is we've had some people with their RSVPs send in a picture of themselves as a teenager. And it's so fun to watch the teens who are on our board of directors look at those pictures. They love seeing people they know in the community back as their teenage selves because they can relate to it.
We were all dorks. I mean, that's what they are. I don't think kids realize that. We were all dorks once upon a time.
Yes.
So one of the things that we talked about the other day, you were talking about this, that you are doing a then and now
yes.
segment. Tell me a little bit, because I love this idea.
It's so cool.
I love
cool.
this.
So the Launchpad has been around for 10 years now. We've had lots of teens who are now, they've come through the whole program. Now they're like 25 and 26, which is crazy to me.
Isn't that nuts? I know.
Yeah. And they live all over and they're doing the coolest stuff. So we've had the opportunity to work with Stephen Kinsley with Dork Social Club to find those teenagers and ask them, do you still think about the launch pad? What did it mean to you? What are you doing now? What were you like as a teen? What's still the same? What's different? And the interviews have been amazing. They're
great.
Beautiful.
I'm
they're
looking
cool
forward to
people.
That. I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So there are two other things I want to talk about. You have, you were on the front page of The Courier yesterday.
Yeah.
With your Walk and Talk?
Walk and Talk podcast.
Oh, tell me what Walk and Talk podcast is.
It's so fun.
I love this.
First of all, it's a short podcast. So it's no longer than 15 to 20 minutes with the intention that you could listen to it while you're driving somewhere. And the point of that is to role model how to have a meaningful conversation with a teenager. So hear me out on this one. Teens do not like to sit down across from you and make deep eye contact while they talk about tough things in their life.
Well, this right now, you and I drive me, you push me to limits right now. So I completely understand that.
I understand that. So the best way to get a teen to really open up is to do something side by side. Go for a walk, drive in the car. Make it short. Don't commit to an hour long conversation. Commit to like 15 to 20 minutes and then they're going to want to come back. If you commit to an hour, they're going to avoid you like the plague. So the point of the Walk and Talk podcast is I go on a walk with a teenager. You can hear, it's like you're a little butterfly on our shoulder listening in on the conversation. You can hear our footsteps. You can hear our breathing. You can hear cars driving by and you can hear our conversation. It's very organic. It's not really Q&A based, although I do ask questions, but really it's just a conversation that evolves about topics they care about. So the latest one that was covered on The Courier, Toby Chang really wants to be president in 2044. And we did our interview on February 13th, and he's one of the most civically engaged teens that I've ever
met. I read
the
article. I was like so impressed. I mean,
that kid is doing everything. Everything that relates to building community, which is so cool. So I thought, how appropriate the day before Valentine's Day to ask Toby, what does it look like to show love for your community? So we just had a conversation about that while we walked around the square, and he took that dialogue everywhere from campaign finance and the need for transparency and how that allows people who don't have a lot of finances to feel seen and heard, and all the way to service and having the courage to have a compassionate conversation with someone.
So if I want to hear the podcast, how do I hear this? Is it on the
It is on our website. So you can find a link to the podcast on our website. Or if you have a Spotify account, which is free, you can just get on Spotify and look up the Walk and Talk podcast.
Oh, okay.
And there we are. And
the
we
Walk
have,
and Talk podcast.
Yeah. We've got 5 episodes out with all different types of teams. We're talking about everything from movies and to becoming president, to what type of leadership is needed in our world, all kinds of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that idea.
It's really fun.
You're absolutely right. The side-by-side is definitely less confrontational and more comforting. And
yeah.
You know,
you'd be amazed at how they open up when you're side-by-side, but then you sit them down and you square up.
Yeah.
It's like,
square
ooh.
Up, yeah. So the other project you guys are working on is your Better Together program.
Yes.
So this is, explain this, another...
Another
what are you just like crazy nuts?
Well, so we're youth driven. So a lot of these are ideas that the teens have, and then we support them in making them
happen.
And
it's a sign of a great organizer who can delegate and having a great team behind you. And you use your teens. You don't use them, but they are involved in every aspect.
Oh yeah.
So what's Better Together?
Better Together is a program on civil discourse. So our teenagers have watched adults in our community fail. Honestly, as civil discourse, they see it on the news, they see it in their family structures, they see it throughout, you know, at city council meetings, like adults failing to remain curious and open in a conversation, and they shut down and start name calling and get defensive, all that sort of stuff. So they thought, well, maybe we could create a program where we all learn about civil discourse together and we all get to practice it. So right now, what that program looks like is we have about 80 I think we actually might have 90 families now who are having dinners on a regular basis practicing civil discourse based off of a guidebook that 20 teenagers collectively wrote together.
So 20 teenagers wrote the guidebook.
Yes, based off of survey data from over 900 people in town.
Okay.
Yeah, which is, and the writing is phenomenal. As somebody who used to teach at the college level, if I didn't know those were teenagers, I would have thought that they were college students. It's
wow.
So good. So you read the guidebook, you practice the civil discourse exercises in a conversation with your family over dinner. And then at the end of year two, we're having a large community event where we're inviting everybody to come and practice having difficult conversations together.
So if I'm having dinner, I'm in the program. And I have the guidebook, and I'm sitting with my family or friends, whoever else, and we're going through the guidebook. What are some of the questions in the guidebook? What are some of the questions that you're going to discuss?
So the guidebook is simply that. It's a guide. So there's a list of topics that Yavapai County residents identified as important to discuss. Those topics are things like water, gun rights, voting, gender, topics around gender, stuff around even things like dress code, because we interviewed a lot of teenagers who are sick and tired of dress code.
Makes sense.
So you as your family, you get to look at this whole list. Some topics might feel safer to you than other topics. And you select as a family or a group, it doesn't have to be your biological family, it can be a group. You select a topic that is meaningful to you and that your group wants to engage in dialogue with. You set ground rules, and then you just eat dinner and you make sure everybody has a chance to speak and to be heard, and you discuss the topic. After dinner, you check in with your teen liaison from the launch pad, which is just a phone call, and you say, hey, this is what we talked about. This is where the conversation maybe went south. This right. is where it went well. Our next dinner is in a month, and we're looking forward to talking about this, and we're going to work on this.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're compiling all the information, and what are you going to do with this all at the end? Is there like an end?
Yes. So there's a website for the project that the teens are updating that has information about, well, the survey data. It also has information about topics families are talking about. And then when the community group comes together, the large group, so we anticipate probably 200 to 300 people involved in that big right. dinner. We will sort of scramble the small groups and have everybody sit in larger groups together.
Oh, wow.
And then we'll talk about, like, these are the things that you all spoke about over the last year. And now we're going to practice speaking about those same topics on a larger scale at your dinner table with people you don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a huge... So how long is the project running? How long...
It's a three-year project.
Three-year project.
We're in year two.
You're in year two.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Thanks. It's just amazing. I mean, what you guys are doing is amazing.
Thanks,
so
Barry.
If you... When you look at, we got just a few more minutes, but what do you think, the biggest challenge is facing teenagers, adolescents? Because I think it varies by generation, but the kids are just inundated.
Yeah.
Young adults, let's say that, are just inundated daily. What do you think is the toughest thing for teens that they're looking at or they're affected by that we as adults may not realize is even an issue?
Totally. I would say mental health is the biggest issue really? Facing teens today. And, you know, I've struggled with this as an adult, and I've had judgment towards it because I'm like, oh, yes, you're nervous. Like, I've had nerves. You get through them as part of the human experience. True. Nerves are part of the human experience. But overwhelming anxiety, crippling anxiety to where you feel like you can't go to school. How do you make a decision for your future? That anxiety is really being fueled by so much. One is the fact that a lot of these kids came of age during COVID in isolation. Data has recently come out showing that being isolated is worse for our health than smoking cigarettes, believe it or not.
Really?
So you think
about... I can't believe that. I'm shocked by that.
Deep loneliness.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyhow, like... You take kids who are coming of age, 12, 13 years old, in isolation and bring them out of COVID. And we've got a lot of healing that needs to happen in response to that. And it's not going to happen overnight. So there's the mental health issues, the anxiety. And then you look at the world around them. 44% of Americans think that we could go into a civil war. There's a climate crisis happening. Even if you don't believe the climate crisis is happening, there's still tension around it. There's still arguments around it. And teens are watching this all around them and going, wow, what place do I have in the future? Like, the anxiety is so intense right now.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I can definitely see that.
I mean, we're all feeling it
to some extent. Yeah, I agree with you. Well, thank you. We're out of time, believe it or not. This ain't no walk
so
and
fun.
Talk.
That's right.
All right. So you got the launchpadteencenter.org.
Yep.
You're open. What's the address?
424 6th Street.
424 6th Street. The Moon Cafe opens at 7:30?
7:30 a.m. Monday through Friday.
Okay. You've got the drop-in for the kids, and they can just find that information on the website, stop on by the place. You've got the web conference going on. You've got Better Together.
And then Share the Love.
And Share the Love on March 22nd.
Yep. And everyone's invited. Please
come. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
You might be my favorite person now.
You're one of my favorite people.
Well, thank you. My guest today has been Courtney Ostervelt, founder and director of the Launchpad Teen Center in downtown Prescott. Be sure to check them out online at thelaunchpadteencenter.org and check out their event on March 22nd. I'm Barry. Be sure to check us out next week and check out my column every Thursday in the Courier in the Cross Street section to see who I'm talking with next. And we'll see you next week on The Prescott Palette. You've been listening to The Prescott Palette on KQNA 1130 AM every Saturday at 12 noon. If you know someone who's doing great things, have a special event, or just got a great story, drop me a line at presspalette@gmail.com. That's P-R-E-S, palette@gmail.com, and we'll get them on the air. In the meantime, see who I'm talking to every Thursday in the Across the Street section of the Daily Courier and on Facebook at Prescott Palette.